It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you today. We are going to look at new methods of treating depression. There is a lot in the news. We're going to share some of that with you, and then we're going to analyze that to see how much really is new and what is out there that can be effective for the treatment of depression. We have psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings with us that is in the studio today, so we're going to have a great time as we talk about this topic. It is a troubling topic, and so when I say we're going to have a great time, it is something that needs to be discussed. And as we talk about this, of course, we always want to keep in perspective that we do this from the standpoint of helping all of us live healthier, happier lives. And the Bible is full of information. God gives us a lot of information. Our guest today has written a book that comes from that perspective about having a healthier, happier life and what the Bible has to say about treating our minds as well as our bodies. Our number, if you'd like to join our discussion, is 800-775-4673, 800-775 and the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. So all you have to do is pick up the phone to join us on the air. If you are on the HOPE channel, the North American feed, if you are on the Life Talk radio network, listening to one of our many radio stations all across the country, there are about 70 of those. And also, if you're on the Internet, one of our several Internet channels, this is a live program. All you have to do is pick up the phone and participate in what we're doing. We'd love to have your call. Your questions are always welcome. I would remind you again that this is a donor-supported ministry. Without your help and your support, this program and the Life Talk ministry, the Life Talk network, does not exist. Our only capability of sharing the good news of salvation with others comes from you. And without what you do, we simply can't do that. So if you want to participate in this voice of sharing the good news of salvation with others, of helping people better understand the world around them and how to relate to things that are happening in their lives and how they can enhance their walk with Christ, if you would like to join together with us in doing that, then we would solicit your donations. We need your help in order to keep those messages going out over the airwaves. You can only imagine, I think, with me, about having 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to provide programming. We have to produce many, many programs just to keep that time filled. Then, of course, we have all the costs associated with getting the signal up there and broadcasting and all the ways that we do it. On our satellites, on our radios, and through the Internet. Many ways that we have that we put out Life Talk programming, and all of that is related to a cost. I think you would agree with me that it is important to share the good news of salvation, to let people know what the Bible has to say, and to help others understand better how to relate to the world today in the light of what the Bible has to say. So if you'd like to join together with us, just pick up the phone, give us a call. Those that are standing by can take your donations. You also can go on the web, and at our website, you can make a donation there as well. www.lifetalk.net is the website address, and our telephone number is the same one we use for this program, 800-775-4673. Well, back to the topic today about depression. Depression is a major issue. According to some sources, in the next few years, depression will become the second major illness next to heart disease in the U.S. So this is something that is not only large now, but is growing in scope. Part of that growth is related to the aging process, because those that get into the older categories tend to be more depressed. According to one report that was just released in U.S. News and World Report, they say that about 40% of older adults suffer from depression. And they say that by 2010, that, as I mentioned, that is going to be the second most common disease next to heart disease. Now, depression is something that affects not just our, not just the way that we feel, but it affects our overall well-being. It affects us physically and mentally both. So this is something that can have an effect on us, not just about how we feel about life, but also can have a tremendous aspect and impact on how healthy we are. Well, according to the National Association for Mental Health, they say that the economic cost of this disorder is high, but the human cost of the suffering cannot be estimated. Depressive illness often interferes with normal functioning and causes pain and suffering, according to them. Also, it says that most people who suffer depression do not seek treatment. But 80 to 90% of those that suffer from depression can be helped. And that's the encouraging news. Well, if we look back across the years, and we know that a lot of things have been part of medical science that are disturbing when we look back on them. But here are some of the ways that depression has been treated in the past. And we'll talk about in just a minute about how depression is treated today and some things that are on the horizon as well. But surgical lobotomies, electric shock treatment, acupuncture, massage, meditation, these are all some of the things that have been part of past history about how depression has been treated. And I'll use that word maybe lightly because I'm not sure that any of these are really good treatments. But the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say that antidepressants are now the most, the most commonly. I started to say the second most commonly, but according to them, the most commonly prescribed drugs in the U.S. 120 million of those were prescribed in a recent year, and it is a $13.5 billion business. We'll be back in just a minute as we talk about depression. We'd love to hear from you today.
Your thoughts and comments are welcome at 800-775-4673.
Today on Shopper's Challenge, we pitted two best friends, Jenny.
Hi.
And Brianna.
Like, I want to say hello to all my friends.
Against one another to see who can find the best deals in clothing.
Cool.
And we've given each girl $200.
Real cool. I'm going to the mall. There's this real, like, incredibly big sale there.
What about you, Jen?
Well, I'm going to try a couple of consignment shops, maybe a yard sale or two.
Oh, gross! You're going to buy clothes that people have already worn?
Sure. People try and clothes at the mall. What's the difference?
Excuse me, ladies, but it is time to shop. And they're off. Welcome back to Shopper's Challenge. And Brianna, what did you buy at the mall?
A Jessica Duo jumper, a pair of Curtis Clone jeans, a pair of Leibach sports shoes, and this blouse from my favorite department store.
And what about the consignment shops, Jenny?
Well, at one consignment shop, I got a pair of dress shoes, running shoes, slippers, 5 blouses, and 3 pairs of Curtis Clone jeans.
Now that's smart shopping.
Then at the next store, I found two Jessica Duo jumpers.
We get the idea. That's all the time we have on Shopper's Challenge. Remember, be a smart shopper. Buy used.
A Money Jenny, Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about new ways of treating depression. If you would like to join us on the air, feel free to do it, 800-775-4673. Once again, if you are on the Hope Channel North America feed, the Life Talk Radio Network, or the Internet, this is a live program. And as always, we invite your calls. It is great when you call in. We enjoy hearing from you. I have in my hand a CD that we're giving away. We have one of these. We'll give this away by way of drawing at the end of the program. This is a Michael Card CD. And it has Morning Has Broken, I Will Arise and Go to Jesus, a number of wonderful songs that you'll find on the CD. And we're giving this away once again at the end of the program by way of drawing. So when you call us, join us on the air. We'll make you part of that drawing that we'll have at the end of the program. Let me throw this question out to you. We always like to get down to the Bible to see what the Bible has to say about things. Here's a text or a question, rather, that we'd like to see if you can find the answer for. Maybe you know it already, but in any case, here's the question. Who was David addressing when he said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged"? Who was David addressing? So we're looking for the person or the people that David was addressing when he said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged." So if you know the answer to that, 800-775-4673 is our number. Well, there's so many other things that we could share with you in the news. We're not going to get much into any more of the news, except to say that something else that has been recently in the news is that there have been some flags raised about some of the antidepressant drugs. And I know that our guest today will have some insight into that for us. Well, Dr. Jennings, it is great to have you on the air with us again. And it's always wonderful to talk about the mind and how the mind works. I'd like for us to initially today spend a little time maybe laughing at ourselves. I mentioned a moment ago some of the past treatments for depression. And, of course, Laughter and humor are probably one way that we can help treat depression. So maybe we can start out right there today. I had mentioned, you know, the issue of surgical lobotomies for treatment. It seems to me that would pretty much take care of the issue of depression.
Well, actually, there have been even more, I guess, extreme treatments in the past. We don't want to go back into history. In 1550 BC, the Ebers Papyrus described depression and attributed it to evil spirits. And the treatment for depression in 1550 BC was incantations. And
right.
In 150 AD, Galen described depression, and he attributed it to black bile. And the treatment was...
Whatever that is. Huh?
Right, black bile or evil humors.
Uh-huh.
And the treatment was leaching, bleeding, or blistering.
All right.
And unfortunately, that treatment persisted for 1,500 years or more. Through the Dark Ages, they would leech, bleed, and blister people. And when they would blister, they would take a glass, and they would put the glass to a person's back and then heat the glass with a candle and draw a vacuum, causing large blisters on the person's back to treat them for depression.
Now, I think most people know about that as it relates to George Washington, et cetera, and many people that were leeched for various physical reasons. But you're saying they did it for depression as well.
As well, exactly right.
My.
Yes, to get rid of the evil humors.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't until the mid-1800s that people started to have some homeopathic remedies that they tried for depression, where they would treat them with, say, massage or hydrotherapies, which really didn't prove to be too effective. Freud came along and attributed these things to internal conflicts that a person has had and prescribed a psychoanalysis. And it really wasn't until around the 1950s that medications started being looked at for the various treatments of mental illness.
All right. We're going to talk more about some of those current treatments in just a minute. Once again, if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 800-775-4673, 800-775-HOP. If you'd like to talk with us today, we're talking about depression. Our guest is Dr. Tim Jennings, MD. He is a psychiatrist and a consultant. He is author of a new book, which has already sold out the first printing. The new printing has just been released. It is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. And you can find that book. There are a few places where you can find it. You can go to comeandreason.com. That's your web address, right?
That's our web address,
Jennings.
Yes.
So www.comeandreason.com. Or you can go to amazon.com, or you can go to the AdventistBookCenter.com. Those are places that you can find that book. And Dr. Jennings, the first printing of that sold out in what, a month or so? It wasn't very long.
It was about 2.5 months.
Okay.
Yeah, and they can go to any actual bookstore, too. Barnes & Noble's, they can go and just ask for it, and they can order it for them there as well.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. So that's where you can find that book, a great book, and it is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. Well, Dr. Jennings, it would seem to me that depression is the most common mental illness, or the most common thing that people struggle with when we're talking about emotions or the mind.
If we talk about mental illnesses as defined by the DSM, I think the most common one is phobias.
Okay.
Simple phobias are the most common. But
right.
Depression is probably the most common debilitating. And I think that's probably you're talking about that.
Yeah.
The one that actually causes people to miss work and not be able to function well in society. And depression probably is the most common of the debilitating mental illnesses.
So it's very widespread. And according to some of the data that we read coming into the program, it looks like it is going to become more widespread. More people are going to be depressed as time goes on here.
Yeah, and I should try to talk a little bit about maybe some of the underpinnings of what's going on with depression. First, describe what depression is for your audience. Depression is not a sad or depressed mood simply. We all have moments or things that upset us, that disturb us, that can cause us to feel sad or depressed. But major depression, or the clinical illness of depression, is actually an illness in which brain function is altered. Glucose metabolism is reduced. Gene expression is altered. Electrical activity in the brain is reduced. And thus, there's a global impairment of functioning where people don't think clearly, they don't sleep well, their appetite is impaired, energy is impaired, their ability to experience pleasure is impaired, thoughts are disturbed where they have thoughts about death or dying or suicidal thoughts. All these things can happen. Libido is altered. All these things are altered because the entire brain function is altered. We see that this can happen from a variety of reasons. And the way I like to break it down for your audience would be hardware assaults and software assaults. If you think about a computer, hardware assaults would be things that actually affect the brain tissue itself. And there's a lot of things that can affect the brain tissue. Hormone problems, thyroid, hypothyroidism, nutritional factors, deficiencies in vitamin B, vitamin C, folic acid, omega-3 fatty acid deficiencies have been associated. Nutritional factors can be involved. Poisons, lead, toxic-based paints, other toxins in the environment. Lots of environmental things can infect. Infections of various kinds, post-encephalitic things, strokes, lots of physical things that affect the physical brain can alter the brain function and contribute to the development of depression.
Well, one thing I did not mention in the lead-in was this. This is by the World Health Organization. They are predicting by the year 2030, now that's a few years down the road, but they are predicting that depression will be second only to HIV/AIDS in terms of disability caused worldwide. That's significant. I don't know if there is anyone out there researching the cause for that increase or not, or if there's anything out there that we would be aware of.
Well, yeah, I think that's a great question. And I thought of a Bible text when it says that in the last days, men shall run to and fro, their hearts failing them for fear.
Right.
And I was going to get to the software side. I just mentioned hardware side.
Yes.
And one of the things that could be contributing is we have a much more polluted environment. Our environment is so polluted, we have what's called persistent organic pollutants that come from coolants and pesticides that actually can reside in the body and cause physical health problems and potentially affect the brain as well. And so that could be a factor as why this is increasing. The other factor would be things going on in the software. And when we have increasing amounts of fear, anxiety, worry, dread, we increase the amount of stress hormones that the body is releasing. And the increased stress hormones actually cause a cascade of events in the brain that changes protein production in the brain that results in the development of depression. And so I think there's a clear relationship between the increasing anxiety and worry in the last days and the increasing depression that people are having.
All right. When we get back, we need to go to the phones, but I also would like to find out, is there any kind of protective effect to depression? Is it a body's response to something that the body is trying to accomplish? Let's talk about that when we get back, and we also will go to the phones. Our number is 800-775-4673 if you'd like to join us on the air. Stay tuned.
You can join the conversation now by calling 800-775-4673. Life Talk now streams on Live365.com. Life Talk music features the best music Life Talk has to offer. Life Talk Kids, with music, drama, and stories all day, every day, just for kids. And of course, Life Talk Radio, featuring programs like Steve Gallimore Live, the Life Quest series, Family Life Today, New Life Live, and Vibrant Life. Go to Live365.com and search for Life Talk. That's all one word, Life Talk, on Live365.com. Now you're able to listen to Life Talk Radio via Live 365 with your Real Player, iTunes, Winamp, Music Match, and of course Windows Media Player, and just about any other player that streams MPEG-3. Live365.com, keyword Life Talk, all one word, on Live365.com. Now featuring live playlists for Life Talk Music, Life Talk Kids, and Life Talk Radio. That's Live365.com.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about depression, and we're talking about ways of treating depression, what causes depression. If you have questions about this that you would like to have answered, feel free to give us a call. Our number is 800-775-4673. We have a Michael Card CD that we're giving away. We'll give this away at the end of the program. It's a music CD, once again, by Michael Card. The question that we have thrown out is this. Who was David addressing when he said, "Be strong and courageous"? Do not be afraid or discouraged. Who is David addressing when he said, "Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid or discouraged"? If you know the answer, then let us know. 800-775-HOPE. Our guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings, MD, psychiatrist and consultant. He is also the author of a new book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. And as we mentioned, it's already in the second printing. The first one sold out in about 2.5 months. Great book, a wonderful book. I've had the opportunity to read that, and it really is a wonderful, wonderful book. Let's go to the phones now. We're going to New York and speak with Ann. Ann, how are you doing today?
Okay, thank you.
Good. So nice to have you on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm just really excited that a book has been written about this from a biblical perspective.
Yes.
And I've been listening to conversations. I myself have been diagnosed with depressive reactions.
Uh-huh.
When I left the culture that I was born in and came here to the States.
Uh-huh.
and all the accompanying anxiety and not fitting in and loneliness.
Yes.
My parents were missionaries, and I just didn't feel at home here, and I still have a hard time. But all right. This boils down to the fact I have a diagnosis of bipolar.
Okay.
And I'm taking a mood stabilizer. I think this just might help somebody.
Yes.
I don't consider this a personal consultation or anything, but I
understand.
Take medication. If it wasn't for the medication, I don't know where I'd be. And it took me years to fight this, taking it because of trust the Lord, and you don't need medication, but it has helped me not to be suicidal, not to take my life, bottom line.
Yes.
I take Depakote, and I take Lamictal and Seroquel, and I just asked the doctor if I could decrease the Lamictal because I'm having to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
And have you heard of anything about Lamictal, and why does it work? Does it help or not?
Well, good question, and let's ask that of our guests. Let me first of all mention, though, that you have brought up something I think that is so important. There are many people that are depressed because life is challenging. Many people are lonely. In fact, there is a lot of data out there right now to indicate that people are lonelier today than they have been in many, many years. And your circumstances were unique, but there are many people that are lonely that may not have circumstances as unique as yours. Now, also, I might throw in that returning missionaries have a challenge to adjust, but their children have even a tougher time to adjust. And I think those are things that are worthy of note. And we appreciate you sharing those with us, Ann. Let's go to Dr. Jennings now. Dr. Jennings?
Yeah, and I wanted to make a note of a couple things as well, and that is the fact that regardless of why a person gets depressed, once they are in a state of clinical depression, there has actually been, as far as we can tell now, and there's very, very good science behind this, an alteration in gene expression in a gene that codes for a protein called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. This protein is like fertilizer for the neurons. When it's being produced, the neurons are healthy. They branch out. They connect. And in the part of the brain called the hippocampus, which is an important part for all memory and all learning, this part of the brain makes new neurons under the influence of this protein. When people get depressed, the DNA region that codes for this, it's DNA is like a zipper. It has to unzip in order to produce proteins. That zipper gets locked down. It's like getting a little shirt tail caught in your zipper. It can't unzip, okay? And therefore, this protein can't be produced. Neurons start dying in the hippocampal regions, and the hippocampal volumes actually shrink. This has been well documented with MRI studies and other brain imaging studies. And so this is a physical alteration in gene expression in the brain. What happens when you give people medicines that have antidepressant benefit is that the medicines cause a cascade of intracellular events that ultimately result in this protein being produced again, neuronal volumes and glial volumes, which are supporting cells in the brain, and the hippocampal regions increase, and you see the volumes increase. It can be documented in those studies. So this is actually a physical change happening in the brain, and this is why medicines work. And I want people to understand that because this, like any physical illness, God can heal blindness, he can heal cancer, he can heal all these things, but many times he doesn't do it, and we have to go to the ophthalmologist, we have to go to the oncologist. Same thing with brain illness and depression. God can certainly heal it, but many times he leaves us to go to use the science that we know to find healing through the medical channels that we have available. Well, that being said, yes, I've heard of all those medicines. All those medicines are indicated for the treatment of bipolar disorder from one phase or another aspect of it, and all of them are very good medicines and have benefit in this condition. Whether you need to be on all of them or not is up to your treating psychiatrist, because some patients can be treated with one or combinations, and the combinations are not necessarily unreasonable, with the exception of the fact that Lamictal does interfere with the metabolism of Depakote, and the two together can cause your Depakote levels to be higher than if you were on the Lamictal by itself. So if you come off the Lamictal, your Depakote levels may fall precipitously, and that may cause some additional problems. So you'd want to talk to your doctor, not just stop it directly.
All right, Ann, does that help?
Can I say one more comment?
Sure.
I really appreciate my psychiatrist. He's a good listener.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I've even thought in my head, Pastor so-and-so, but he is my doctor. I'm not sure where he comes from as far as being a Christian, but he has helped. And I didn't mean in my earlier comment at all to put down the fact that the Lord works in our lives through different means.
Yes.
And also, I think in India they have one advantage, that the family looks out for one another. You don't see people living alone.
Right.
And that's one thing that I see here a lot, widows living in a big house by themselves.
Right.
or trying to handle things alone like that. The family kind of gets around each other.
Yes.
And I don't know statistically if they have less problem with depression or not, but that's one thing that really helps. My friends that I talk to, even if it's just one or two close friends.
Well, and I think you're right, Anne. There is something that about humans that we need friendship, we need companionship, we need the support of each other. And as I indicated just a moment ago, studies are demonstrating that American society today is a very lonely society. And I think that's unfortunate. But Anne, thanks so much. You offered some great insight, and we appreciate so much you calling in.
Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thanks. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, let's move to Florida now, and we're going to speak with Robbie. Robbie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great today. How about you?
Doing well. So nice to have you on the air.
And I'm glad to be on the air. As far as the question,
yes,
your answer, the answer to your question, I'm sorry,
yes,
it was Solomon, his son.
Okay, we're going to put that down, and then we'll give the correct answer at the end of the program. Now, I perceive, Robbie, you have some other things that you'd like to share with us.
Real quick, I know I don't want
yes,
to pick up a
we're
lot
running
of time.
Out of time. Would you be kind enough to stay through break? And we'll pick up right there when we get back.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. There's a lot more to come today. 800-775-HOPE. Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking about depression today. What is new in treatment of depression? What can be done? And what is depression and what is it all about? I know that it is a well-known topic, but also at times a confusing topic. And so we're discussing that today with a Christian psychiatrist. He is Dr. Tim Jennings, MD, and as we mentioned, a psychiatrist. He is a lecturer and an author as well. He does so many things. He is a consultant. And he has written a book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind, a brand new book that he has written. And I know that those that have read it really, really like it. I have mentioned before, we've had Dr. Jennings with us, that my mother read that book. She wouldn't put it down until she finished the whole thing. And it really is a very good book. And I've had the opportunity to read it as well. It is unique. Think about this. A book by a psychiatrist entitled A Biblical Model. A Biblical Model. And Dr. Jennings, that really truly is unique, isn't it?
It really is. It's very difficult to find Christian psychiatrists I found in the world.
Yes, it is. Our question that we've thrown out today is, who was David addressing when he said, be strong and courageous and do not be afraid or discouraged? When you call in and join us on the air today, we're giving away a Michael Card CD. We'll do that at the end of the program by way of drawing. Now we have Robbie in Florida that's on the phone with us. And Robbie, right before break, you were able to give the answer to the question, but I think you had a question that you'd like to ask as well.
I know I've suffered with depression on and off throughout my life, and it runs in my family. And I know there are some that do have to take the medication, but what I've found that helps me the most is that when I feel myself going down that road, I ask the Lord to help me immediately to recognize it in my mind and to give me the strength to fight it, to overcome it, to help me to get up and get moving and motivated and to be positive in Him. And I find that that helps me great. And there's one other thing. It's called flaxseed oil. I don't know what's in it. I don't know what it is all for, but I do know one thing. When I take the flaxseed oil, at least 1,000 milligrams a day, I feel so much better all over in my mind, mentally, emotionally, the whole nine yards. It's like a miracle. So, I would like others to know about flaxseed oil,
sure,
and maybe they could try that and see how it does for them.
Well, let's ask our guest today to reflect on that. There are some natural things out there that can be done. What about flaxseed oil?
Yeah, flaxseed oil is actually very high in omega-3 fatty acids. And there's actually really good science behind omega-3 fatty acids and the relationship to mood disorders, both depression and bipolar disorder. Omega-3 fatty acids are actually the building blocks, along with omega-6 fatty acids, that build the physical structure of each membrane of the brain cells of the brain, the components that make it. If you don't get omega-3s in the food you eat, you don't have it because your body can't make it. If that happens, then your brain cells get made out of primarily omega-6s, but that causes the membrane elasticity to be altered. It's not as pliable, becomes more rigid and stiff.
When we talk about omega-6s, we're talking about corn oil, cottonseed oil, some of those kind of things.
Okay. Exactly right. And so you're never deficient in omega-6s in North America. You get plenty of corn-based products and corn oil. So you got lots of omega-6s. And if you eat a meat diet, most of the poultry and beef are fed corn, so they're high in omega-6s. Omega-3s come from flaxseed oil, black walnuts, and also cold water fish like salmon, mackerel, so forth. The fish actually don't make it themselves. They eat it from the plant sources in the ocean. And so if you're eating farm-raised fish, you don't get omega-3 fatty acids because they feed them corn, then you get omega-6s. But the point I was making about the neuronal membrane, if you're deficient in omega-3 fatty acids, the membranes are altered, neural signaling is impaired, and they've actually documented higher rates of bipolar disorder and depression associated with the omega-3 deficiency. So your intervention of taking the flaxseed oil is a very wise thing to do. It puts the neuronal membranes where they can be healthy, and it actually does help prevent against the development of depression.
Now, one other observation on that. I have understood that the flaxseed oil omega-3 is not true omega-3, but it's processed in the body to actually implement like omega-3.
Well, that's a great point. That's why most of my patients go on fish oils rather than the flaxseed oil. Only the very strictest vegetarians will go on the flax because they refuse the fish. And the flaxseed oil is short-chain omega-3s. They're not long enough that your brain needs. The brain needs longer ones. And so your liver has to conjugate them together and lengthen those chains in order for the brain to use the DHA and EPA formulations of the omega-3. In the fish oil, the fish's liver have already conjugated that. So when you take the fish oil, then you get the long chain that your brain needs directly. And we put our patients on 2,000 to 4,000 milligrams a day, generally.
All right, Robbie, does that help?
Yeah, I guess. Bottom line is that the flaxseed oil can help.
Yes, that sounds like that's the bottom line.
But 4,000 milligrams, I could take up to 4,000 milligrams, and that wouldn't hurt.
Well, what about 4,000 milligrams of flaxseed oil?
Yes, 2,000 to 4,000 is fine.
Okay, all right.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, y'all have a blessed day, and I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much, Robbie.
I hope I won that answer.
Well, I hope you do, too. God bless.
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Maryland now, and we're going to speak with Ann. Ann, so nice to have you on the air with us today.
Thank you. I'm really enjoying your program. I just discovered it the other day.
Well, we're glad you found it.
I have a sister who has been fighting depression for years. And once in a while, when she gets to, she's 60 now. And the problem is now, you know, most of the problems she had are resolved. But the thing is now, she thinks, well, you know, she's in a senior citizen apartment. Her daughter goes by and fixes her medicine, takes her shopping. And she was kind of hinting the other day that, well, you know, I'm feeling so good now. Maybe I don't need my medicines.
Okay.
And this has been her problem in the past. Every time, you know, she's been 5 years now.
Right.
And she thinks, you know, well, I'm fine now. I'm healed because, you know,
Ann, I have heard that so many times of people that are on medication to, you know, affect different issues as it relates to the mind. And I think that's a fairly common thing that people find themselves in. Well, I feel better now, so apparently I don't need it.
So what can I do or say to encourage her?
All right. Good question, Dr.
Well, I can tell you, I don't know how detailed I should get into the science, but what the medications actually do, a moment ago I described how the DNA that codes for that protein gets locked down like a shirt tail getting caught in the zipper there because a methyl group gets attached to a histone on the DNA region. The antidepressants cause an acetyl group to attach there, which neutralizes the methyl group's ability to lock down the DNA. If you know, in chemistry, acetyl groups have weak chemical bonds. And so if you stop your medicine, basically, the entire process reverses and you will lock down the DNA again.
We're going to have to put the rest of that on hold until we get back from break, or you'll talk so fast no one will get it. We'll be right back. Stay tuned and stay with us if you would, Ann. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
Do you long for a more intimate relationship with God? Are you looking for an abundant life and power to walk in God's footsteps? Then look no farther than the Bible in your hands. Popular speaker and author Shelley Quinn knows firsthand the power of reading the Bible and speaking God's promises aloud. She shares her insight in her new book, Exalting His Word, published by Pacific Press. Shelley Quinn will infuse you with a greater desire to study God's Word and to help you experience God's transforming power in your life. Let the Bible in your hands be God's power in your life. Get a copy of Exalting His Word today by calling 800-765-6955 or going to pacificpress.com. That's 800-765-6955 or visiting pacificpress.com.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking about depression today. Current treatment, what can be done? Our number is 800-775-4673 if you'd like to join us on the air. When you do that, we have a Michael Card CD that we're giving away. We have one of these that we'll give away by a drawing at the end of the program. So if you'd like to have an opportunity, simply give us a call. Join us on the air with your questions or your comments, and you will have an opportunity to have that sent out to you free of charge. A question that we have thrown out today was, is this, who was David addressing when he said, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged? Our guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings, MD. He is a psychiatrist and he has written a new book called A Biblical Approach. And as we mentioned already, this is so unique. Could it be this simple, a biblical model for healing the mind? And we have Ann in Maryland that is on the phone line with us. And Ann had asked a question going into break. And so, Dr. Jennings, you were answering that question. Let me just come back to you.
Yes, I just want to say, what you want to say to your sister, number one, is that the studies show that if you have one episode of depression in your life, you treat that with a medication, back to the point you're no longer depressed at all, stay on the medication for a year and come off, this is one episode only, your likelihood of relapse is around 10%. If you've had two episodes of depression, treat it with medication till it goes completely away, stay on medicine for a year, come off, your likelihood of relapse is 70%. If you've had three episodes of depression and you treat it till it goes away completely, stay on medicine for a year and come off your medicine, your likelihood of a relapse is 90%. So if she's had more than two episodes of depression, her likelihood of relapsing back into depression, especially at her age, is over 90%. Now, I was giving a little science as to the reason for that, and it's basically, without getting into the details, is that protein will stop being produced in her brain that her brain needs in order to function healthy. So I would recommend that she definitely talk with her doctor about it, but the recommendation, I'm certain, will be stay on your medication.
All right. Is there anything that Ann can do? Now, I know this is the kind of question, even as a pastor, that I would get often. You know, I have this person over here. They won't listen to anyone. What do I do to encourage them? Is there anything that she can do?
Education. That's all you can do. You can educate. Remember the biblical principles. Present the truth in love. Leave people free. If she chooses to take herself off the medication, no one can make her stay on medication. And she takes herself off, she will be the one to relapse and suffer from that. So education on the reasons why she needs to be on it. You can tend to normalize it. A lot of times Christian people will come off medicine because they're feeling guilty about taking medicine. So you could explore if there were some guilt issues like questioning her faith. If I had more faith, I wouldn't need this. I know many Christians that take it till they're no longer depressed and then feel so guilty about being on medicine and question their faith, they'll stop it until they get enough education to realize that this isn't about faith at all. This is a physical health problem in a physical body that doesn't work as well as God made Adam's work in the garden.
All right. And does it help?
Yes, but she's saying maybe I can switch to herbal.
And yeah, it won't work. No, the studies are very clear that herbal supplements and herbal treatments, including St. John's wort, do not have the efficacy, and she will still relapse if she tries that switch.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, Ann. God bless. All right. We are going now to Oregon and speak with Marilyn. Marilyn, how are you doing today?
Just fine.
Good. Great to have you on the air.
I wanted to ask, when someone has depression, is panic attacks something that happens along with that, or is that related to that?
Actually, panic attacks are often associated with depression. They're separate disorders, but they are often related, and in fact, anxiety and anxiety disorders such as panic can often drive or the creation of depression or vice versa. For instance, somebody who is high functioning and has a lot of responsibilities and they get depressed,
where they can't organize as well, they can't prioritize as well, they don't have the energy to keep up, and their responsibilities start building up on them, and they feel themselves falling behind in their responsibilities, that pressure builds, that can contribute to the development of panic. They actually might even say, I feel like I can't get my head above water, I'm falling behind, I feel like I'm drowning in it all. Well, that feeling of drowning, imagine being underwater, literally, and feel drowning, that's a panic feeling. And so a person who gets depressed, falls behind, can have panic. Conversely, somebody who has panic disorder, where they're constantly causing all these stress hormones to be released in their body, can contribute to the development of depression by the shutting down of that protein that we just talked about and ultimately developing depression. So yes, these things can go hand in hand.
All right, Marilyn, anything else?
What can they, someone do? I know my husband really has panic attacks, and it just hits just all of a sudden. Even, well, it's usually because of a crisis that's come along or stress, but he can just even go to drive somewhere and he'll almost have to stop it. You know, he gets this terrible panic attack. What can you do for that?
Yeah, I would recommend you see a professional psychiatrist. A panic disorder is very, very amenable to psychotherapies. Oftentimes it has to do not with the event itself, but how that event is being processed inside the person's mind, where they can people can tend to catastrophize and develop a overreaction because of the way they're interpreting the event that can cause the panic. They can also then become fearful of ever having a panic attack again, and they can become hypervigilant where they begin watching their own body signals for any evidence that a panic attack is coming. And as soon as they feel like one might be coming, they go, oh no, oh no, oh no, and they can actually drive themselves into panic attack. So a panic attack is very amenable to therapy. I would recommend you see a good therapist or a psychiatrist. Also, there are medications, many medications out there that are very effective in treating a panic attack. So either one would be appropriate, but definitely seek a professional help.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you, Marilyn. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going now to Michigan and speak with Candace. Candace, great to have you on the air today.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Dr. Jennings.
Hello.
Hi. I've been wanting to talk to Dr. Jennings because I hear him say some things on your, what I call your commercials.
All right. He has made some great spots for us, and Candace, we really appreciate those spots that he has made. I'm going to ask you to hold because we are closer to the break than I thought, so just stay with us if you would, Candace. We'll pick up right after break, and our number is 800-775-4673. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
Inspired by the Bible Experience. Luke chapter 6, verse 13.
When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured. Out of them, people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said,
"Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man."
You've been listening to Inspired by the Bible Experience, a fully dramatized audio production of the Bible, performed by an unprecedented ensemble of top name actors, pastors, musicians, and more. Inspired by the Bible Experience from Zondervan.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking about depression today. Our guest is psychiatrist and consultant, Dr. Tim Jennings. He is the author of a new book. Actually, it's not very old. It's just a few months old. But in the first 2.5 months, it completely sold out. And there is a second printing that has just been done. It is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. And if you would like to get that book, you can find it at comeandreason.com, comeandreason.com, or you can find it at amazon.com or the Adventist Book Center. Well, let me say that over again. There's no "the" in front of that. Simply, the address is www.adventistbookcenter, adventistbookcenter.com. Once again, we're talking about depression, and we have Candace in Michigan that is on the phone line with us now. And Candace, you are getting ready to ask a question, and we were interrupted by break. So let's come back to you.
Okay, first I want to say the answer to your question is Solomon.
All right, we'll put that down.
But I wanted to say something because the last person was talking about how their sister keeps going off the medication or someone.
Yes.
And I've suffered from depression for a long time, and I was on all those old medicines they used to have. And when Prozac came around, it gave me back my life.
Okay.
But I can't go off of it because I tried once, and I just got really bad again. But I also take 3,000 milligrams of flaxseed oil a day now, too.
All right.
And I'm just really glad they came up with these SSRIs, I guess they call them, because it's really helped me.
All right, some good observations. Candace, what about the old drugs compared to the new ones?
They're all effective. The difference primarily is in side effect profile. The older drugs were had a much worse side effect profile, dry mouth, constipation, actually had cardiac risk associated. And the old drugs actually were very lethal in overdose. Medicines like Prozac, you could take handfuls of them and they don't kill you. So they're safer, they work, and they're better tolerated.
But that's not recommended.
No.
Okay,
no.
All right. Candace, anything else?
Well, will I probably have to stay on it the rest of my life to keep from being depressed again? That's what the doctors seem to think.
Well, if that's what your doctors tell you, I would say that your history would probably be consistent with that. And yes, I would say likely that's the case.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Candace. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to New Mexico now and speak with Howard. Howard, nice to talk to you today.
Hi, nice to talk to you guys. Hey, I'm a former member of the New Mexico Board of Psychologist Examiners, and I have a couple questions to ask Dr. Tim Jennings.
Sure.
Dr. Tim Jennings, when you have clients that have side effects, let's say, for example, if they use Zoloft and they incur sweating and nausea, and that's part of some of their anxiety issues, do you have any suggestions how to deal with that since the medication helps them, but the side effects cause additional anxiety that actually can increase their condition? That's one question.
Yeah, that's a great question. And ultimately, if the side effects, for instance, I have patients who sweat a lot on some of these medications, and if we can't deal with that in a way, sometimes there's some pharmacologic agents you can add, but I find that those are usually pretty ineffective in doing that. And so most of the time what we have to do is switch to a different agent in order to make that go away, if the sweating is profuse enough. So generally, if it's causing that side effect that's interfering with their ability to function, then we look to switch them to another agent that may not cause that same problem. Just because they have it with one doesn't mean they will actually have it with another. Oftentimes they don't.
Well, the problem seems to be more with women who have body dysmorphic disorder issues, and that causes a great amount of anxiety.
Yeah, the body dysmorphic disorder is really kind of a quasi-psychotic state. In other words, they've lost touch with the reality of their own perceptions of self. Psychotherapy is incredibly important in that population, and sometimes an agent that can have some antipsychotic effects associated with it might be more beneficial than just an SSRI directly. So one of the atypical agents might be more appropriate, but you'd want to be careful there because you don't want to give them something that's going to actually cause weight gain in that situation.
Now, there's a guest speaker that talks about something called Pharmacy Intervention Protocol. I'm wondering if you heard about Fred Newman, because he has statistics as he's gathered. They work with employee assistance plans that they have determined that 70% of the people, and the percentage can be even greater, who are given psychotropic, anxiolytic, antidepressant, or sleep aids are given them by the primary care physician, the PCPs, who aren't mental health professionals, and that these people never... wondering if you agree with that and if you have any suggestions on how maybe as a national trend we could change that.
You know, Howard, that's a good question, and this is a question that's often been in my mind as well. What about, without being disparaging towards any group of people, what about regular physicians getting involved in this, which many of them do?
Well, I think that the statistics are probably very accurate. It probably is 70% of the psychotropic meds are prescribed by primary care. Several factors play into that. Many patients don't want to see a mental health professional because of stigma. They have fears about seeing a mental health professional. That's a factor. Other factors are that many communities don't have psychiatrists or mental health professionals in it, and the alternative is primary care or nobody. So those factors definitely drive this reality. It is true that they often don't get the psychotherapies because they're just getting the medications, and psychotherapy and medication together is more effective than either one by themselves, according to the studies. I don't really have any advice as to how to buck that national trend, but I would observe that that's a reality. Maybe better education and a better availability of mental health care services.
All right. Howard, some great observations and questions. We want to thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Brian in Washington State, and we're going to try to slip in another call. Brian, we're running out of time, so quickly if you would.
Okay, I suffer from depression myself, and I have learned to control it, I mean, with my medication. And like your previous caller was saying, it took a while to find the right medication. And I've also learned what my triggers are, you know, fatigue, stress, and pain. Really send me into a nosedive. And,
you know, that's a really good point. I want to interrupt, and we didn't mention that's the physical pain. Physical pain is a major factor in contributing to depression, and I don't have the time to explain why, but you're exactly right. Physical pain can definitely contribute to depression.
But one of the things that does concern me is the stigma attached to any mental illness prevents a lot of people seeking treatment, and it even...
Brian, I think that is a great observation. I'm going to ask our guest to comment on it. The problem is we're out of time. But Brian, thanks so much for mentioning that. Let's come back to the stigma issue quickly.
Yes, it is a major issue, and I just try to help people realize that brain illness is a physical illness, and we need to treat the brain illness, psychiatric illness, just like we do every other physical illness.
All right. There are a number of you that are still on the line. My apology that we were unable to get to you today. But thanks a lot for calling. To each of you that called in, whether you were on or not, we want to thank you for calling and being with us today. The answer to the question is Solomon. The question was, who was David addressing when he said, "Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid or discouraged"? He was talking to his son Solomon. Howard in New Mexico will have the CD sent out to him free of charge. And Dr. Tim Jennings, once again, thank you so much for being with us. To each of you, God bless. Look forward to being with you next time.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. We're here Monday through Friday to help you think critically about the current world events from a biblical worldview. We would like to say a special thank you to those who faithfully support Life Talk through financial gifts. You make it possible to continue sending out a clear and undiluted message of hope in a world that's pulling apart at the seams. For more information on how you can participate in this vital ministry, visit our website, lifetalk.net. Or call toll-free 800-775-4673. Thanks also to our research volunteers and our radio and television production teams. Please join us tomorrow for Steve Gallimore Live.
Life Talk Radio.
Have you been thinking about doing something great for God? You know, God has a habit of turning our efforts, no matter how small, into something great, something that can change hearts and minds for eternity. Sometimes, God needs us to plant a seed that will grow into a huge harvest. God is the best boss that you could work for, and He wants to work with you. What will you do? Will you respond and take the chance and see what God has for you to do? Make it a matter of prayer. God, what would you have me to do? Is there someone I could encourage? Is there someone you want me to help today? Be open to God. Listen for His voice. A message from Life Talk.